Hello. This week's episode is titled Going Postal. As I mentioned, I've just moved. I sold my house and the closing date got moved up by a week. So I had to be out of there a little earlier than I had anticipated. But being the planner that I am, this was fine. I just stepped up my game a little bit, got things packed and out of there. But I had not yet closed on my new house, which left me in the lurch a little bit because I essentially was going to be homeless for about a month. So the question was what to do with my change of address and my mail, because I'd planned to make the time when I would be without a permanent residence a bit of a vacation. It was Christmas time. I took that opportunity to hit up some family members that I wanted to see for the holidays anyhow and have a little extended stay where I got to visit with my family and have a place to rest my head at night, which was a bit of a luxury at the moment, being technically a homeless person. So I went into my local post office and I put a vacation hold on my mail. And then I put my forwarding address, which was my new home that I had just been pre-approved for the funding for the loan. My bid was accepted, so it was a pretty sure thing that that was then going to be my residence. So with the assistance of a postal worker, I filled out all the necessary forms and made sure that during the duration of my extended vacation and after I had moved out of my house that no mail would continue to be delivered to my soon-to-be former residence. So I'm on vacation and I am at my dad's house and I get a text message from the new owner of the house. I'd left him a little welcome note and my contact information and asked him if he had any questions, to feel free to contact me. And he seemed like a genuine nice guy and was thrilled about taking over the house. And I was thrilled to find someone who was as in love with it as I had been over the years. And it was a good-natured exchange all around. And the message said this. I'll pause here and pull up the text message. It says this. Hi, Shannon. I noticed I haven't been getting mail, and I went to the post office. They said that you'd put a vacation hold on the house, and unfortunately, they can't differentiate between my mail and yours. It sounds like I can't take the hold off. Would you be able to get in touch with them to remove the hold? To which I respond, oh no, that's awful, because I had no idea. Having never actually put a vacation hold on my mail delivery, it didn't even occur to me that it might be on the entire household, not just mail that was coming to my name. So I respond, oh no, that's awful. Yes, I will do that today. I will also send you anything that they mistakenly held of yours immediately. I am so sorry. I thought it was just for my name only and not the household. I've never had to do that before. To which he responds cheerfully, thanks, I appreciate it. And I respond, oh my gosh, of course. Meanwhile, this is Wednesday, December 20th. The height of the mail frenzy at the USPS. So I'm in Florida in the kitchen at my dad's house and he's out on an errand and I believe I called the branch three or four different times and was put on hold. And then the hold lasted for so long that the telephone actually would disconnect me. But I was so mortified that this poor fella was not getting his holiday mail. And in his brand new home, mind you, the house closed on the 8th and he moved in shortly thereafter, days later. And so it's been nearly 2 weeks that this guy hasn't received a piece of mail. And so I'm determined by sheer manners to get someone on the phone and sort the situation out. So I would put the phone on speakerphone in the kitchen and just wander around and do other things and listen to his god-awful hold music and wait for someone to answer. But I didn't realize that also those things have a time limit before they just shut you off. So that happened about three times. And then finally I get a post office employee on the telephone to talk to me. And it happens to be the woman who helped the gentleman who walked into the branch in the first place. And this is the same day, in fact. So I'll read that message. And it says, I called and spoke with the woman who helped you today, and she said that she would just have the carrier separate the mail for the next 10 days until the hold lifts. And she, as an aside, also told me in confidence that this scenario was something that she literally had to, like, bribe the mail carrier to do. Like, give him some sort of special compensation for performing this additional task, and that it wasn't something that would ordinarily be handled in this manner, but that she thought for the next 10 days it might be feasible. So I said, she thinks that's the best way, because if I lift the hold, then you get my mail because my forwarding address is not my property yet. I think it is resolved. Followed by a little smiley face emoticon. And he says, thank you so much, Shannon. Hope your move went great. Well, I hoped that my move went great, too. This was before I actually moved, which is a whole different story. So my stepmom wanders out into the kitchen, and my dad is hard of hearing, and he wasn't even there. I thought my stepmother was taking a nap. She ambles into the kitchen and just is like, wow, I don't know how you had the patience to act. I would have just given up by now. And I'm like, I want to give up. It just feels so bad for this poor guy. So that's the beginning of big trouble in little Chinatown. I proceed to rest assured that the situation is taken care of and, you know, follow up with the guy probably a couple of days later. He indeed did start to receive his mail. Mine is still being held. Fine. That's great. But there's a couple of snags along the way. One is that there's official mail supposed to be coming to me from both the closing of my home and the new loan and subsequent things that you have to go through, official things, in order to purchase a house. But at the same time, I'm also getting my license to do my job, which is a hairstylist in the state of New Mexico. And I had been warned by the owner of the salon that it's kind of a long process. So I also didn't know that I had only ever worked in one state. So I was, for some reason, under the impression that it was like a driver's license. And once you get licensed in one state, you revoke your license in another state, which is not the case with a professional license of this nature. And so when I mentioned to the gal that owns the shop I was about to start working at, she's like, "You haven't applied for your license yet?" And I was like, "No, but it's 3 months away. Like, I should be fine." I would imagine that that's ample time to get the paperwork through, even in a slow state department. That's should be fine, right? So I kept getting these somewhat ominous letters from the State Department of New Mexico that would say something like this. And I knew that I'd sent them everything that they'd requested, and I knew that it had been sent by the state of Oregon because I got actual response via email days after I had actually sent out my application packet. So I knew that Oregon had held up their end of the bargain and that it was just a matter of time that all of the bits of paper would make their way onto the proper desk at this office in the middle of New Mexico and someone would stamp the thing and I would get my license. But I kept getting these pieces of paper before I even moved out of my house. So I had applied for my license in November, early November, because I got confirmation that I got the job in October and I wasn't going to start until January. So I got a couple pieces of mail from New Mexico prior to moving out of my house. And I remember looking over them when I was at my friend's house before I went on vacation, and I'm looking at them and it's like, "We still need these pieces of your application in order to process your request." And then it follows it up at the end. "If you've already sent these items, please ignore this letter," pretty much. There was a typo in the letter also, and I wish that I kept it. I probably burned it out of frustration. But I remember reading it and being like, "Oh my God, like, you didn't have someone just read that before you printed out however many copies you're going to send out to any applicant for a cosmetology license in the state of New Mexico." It's just bad form, you guys. Grammar police. But it was an inkling that things were, that it was not as tight a ship as I was used to dealing with as the same department in Oregon. So kudos to you, Oregon State. You run a tight ship compared to New Mexico. And at this point, I'm starting to feel a little, like, nervous. So I call the department, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I sent you that. And then they're like, "Well, we don't have it." I'm like, "Okay, I will double check with Oregon. I got an email saying that they sent it to you, so just curious, you know." And they're like, "Well, we don't have it." I'm like, "Okay." So I am like frustrated and a little bit panicked, and I call Oregon, and Oregon's like, "Yeah, we sent it. Here's the confirmation." They'd sent it a month prior, and I was like, "Oh." And they're like, "We'll send it again just to make sure that something didn't happen, but just so you know, if we need to send another copy, you need to pay for it again." And I was just like, "Okay." 'Cause it's not expensive, but it's also not cheap. It's just like, it's an annoying fee to have to add on to also the fee of an application and paying for the license itself. So I then get back to the State Department in New Mexico, and the person I talked to is a different person, and she's like, "Oh yeah, we have that, whatever." And I'm like, "Okay, do y'all talk to each other? 'Cause whoever I just spoke with moments ago, mind you, was certain that you never received this." So that was one hitch along the way. The other was that I went to two different technical schools, and one of them closed. And my files were somewhere in the where files go to die, basically. Once an institution of higher learning closes their doors, all of the official records have to be put into basically a dead file, but that lives somewhere for a certain amount of time. Anyway, I have been doing my job for 13 years professionally and been in the industry for 15 years, and my school closed its doors shortly after I graduated. So this was over a decade old transcript information that the state of New Mexico decided that, despite the fact that I've worked solely as a hairstylist for the last 13 consecutive years, that somehow that wasn't enough to prove that I'd had enough hours of education to get the license in Oregon, which I needed in order to operate as a professional in my field, which I had to send them my tax documents in order to back up the fact that I was indeed a self-employed hairstylist. But that wasn't enough. They needed information not from the school that gave me a license in the first place, but from the school that I transferred into the school that gave me a license. They needed an official transcript from them. So I was down another rabbit hole with another state department trying to find, and I had to actually like do all the footwork myself. So eventually that got resolved, but what then, I'm getting these warnings from the owner of the salon. She's like, you know, I can't let you start working unless you have a valid license to operate in New Mexico. It's against the law. And it's like, you know, several days before Christmas, and I'm expecting to start at the top of the year, and I don't have my license in my hand, and I don't have an address for them to send it to. So I start to freak out a little bit. Like, well, I can't have them send it to my former address because that all that mail's being held, and who knows when it's going to get forwarded to me. I don't know how long that process takes. And I can't have anything sent to my new address because I don't own it yet. And I can't have it sent to my mom because then it has to get sent to me somewhere in New Mexico anyway. And so finally, I just told my story, like, plight to the owner, and I was like, do you think it's okay if I have my license sent to the salon? Or I could go pick it up because the state department's in Santa Fe. Like, I have to drive through Santa Fe to get to Taos anyhow. So apples and oranges to me. I don't care. And she's like, well, figure out if you can pick it up. Of course, you're allowed to use the address of the salon, no worries. It's aren't going to be on your license anyway because it's where you're going to be working. I was like, yeah, that's fine. So I call them back and I say, so have you received this information? And again, it took me two telephone calls with two different people for them to have tracked down the information necessary to compile like an actual valid application, even though I'd sent them everything they'd asked for in the first place. I'm annoyed, but I'm also on vacation, and what else do I have to do? So at that point, I'm emailing back and forth with a woman in addition to calling, and she's pleasant, and her customer service skills are down. Like, I'm like, this woman's got it. She's handling the situation. All of the somehow scattered pieces of my application have been united. She gave my application the go-ahead. They understand that I have been doing my job for 13 years straight and that I did complete beauty school and that Oregon wasn't lying when they gave me a license. So in the first thing I mentioned in the email is I can pick up my license or please have it sent to this address I'm in between domiciles and it needs to get there so that I can start working. Which got completely ignored because the next email from her is, it's great, we've sent it out. And it's the next day, and it's the first thing that I read that morning, and I just, like, you know, I have that, like, flushed moment. My eyes are huge, and I'm like, no. What address did they send it to? This can't happen. So I call, and the person who I get is not the person that has been handling my file. And she's like, well, you can't come pick it up. I'm like, why can't I come pick it up? She's like, well, you need to fill out a different form for that. I'm like, I need to fill out a different form in order to show up in person to pick up a license that proves that I am myself, that I can do the job that I'm licensed to do. Yes, you can't just come pick it up. We need to know that you're coming to pick it up. I'm like, okay, well, I did send explicit directions that if it gets sent to my address, it's going to get lost in the mail because I sold my house and I'm moving and they're holding my mail and I need to start work before my mail is going to actually make it to me. And I need that piece of mail in order to do my job and start working. So, and she's like, well, let me see if I can find her right now. I'm like, that'd be great. I'd really appreciate that. So I get her on the phone. She's like, no, I didn't see that part of your email. And in my mind, I'm like having a freak out. And I'm just like, how in the world could you not see that part? It was the first part and it was bold. It was not like written in a different color, an invisible ink, or like an afterthought, or on the next page, or in a separate email. It was at the top of the email conveying all of the information I needed you to have in order to make this happen as smoothly as possible, and you just didn't see it. But I have been trying really hard to not be a monster to customer service people or anyone professional that I need to deal with on the phone, when in fact I suffer greatly from like being pushed past the brink of general politeness, where it's like, it's kind of like road rage, but I have like customer service phone rage because it's so inane to me, like the inefficiency of how things are operating. And I'm like, I could run your fucking department better than you can. And I don't even work in an office. Like, it incenses me. I don't understand how it could be so inefficient and not, I'm like, this is the problem with our world. Like, this right here is an example of why society is falling apart and burning around our ears. Like, but I can't say that on the phone to this very genuinely nice woman, because by and large, it's not her fault. Some of it is. I'm sure they're overworked. I'm sure they're underpaid. I'm sure they're overwhelmed. I'm sure they're inundated with, you know, more files than they can feasibly manage during a workday. This is an assumption, and I'm being really giving them the benefit of the doubt in this scenario. Whatever. So I tamp down that inner voice that's screaming, and I say, oh, it already went out in today's mail? And she's like, yeah, I'll send someone down to the mail room and see if we can catch it before it goes out. And I'm like, yes, please, would you do that? That'd be great. You're my hero. Thank you. And then she pauses. She's like, yeah, and if it already went out, I'll just print another one and we'll send that one to your salon address. That's fine. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you could just print another one. Yeah, fine. Do it. That'd be great. Swell. And I thank her very much and get off the phone. And I think I've maybe had to take a nap after that. I was just like, my brain needs to click off, because right now dealing with the sheer stupidity of how certain things that I am bound to how this operates, and I can't see any step of this process being efficient or smooth at all. And, you know, I was trying to keep the owner of the salon up to date on this, and she's like, yeah, well, that's New Mexico. And I'm like, oh geez, what have I gotten myself into? So that seems to be resolved, and I basically am like texting the owner. I'm like, just let me know when it arrives, you know. And it sure enough did arrive a few days later, which was awesome. But double check with new resident. He seems to be getting his mail. I'm pretty sure that mine is safely on hold until I arrive in New Mexico. Great, fabulous, everything's good. And I finish my holidays and it's lovely. And I get to New Mexico and it's lovely. And then my car gets broken into my first night in New Mexico, which is less lovely. And a bunch of my shit gets stolen, which is a whole lot less lovely. And that's how I wake up my first day in Albuquerque. So, I'm gonna pause here.